nothing but kind to me.
Lord, you are good. Your very nature is good. And in those times when we wonder if you care, and we wonder if, God, if you really are, we stand back and then we discover that everything that motivates you is love and goodness and care for us. And we just express our grace, just our great appreciation to who you are. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated. Amen. Thank you, worship band. Appreciate that. We want to take a moment and just, again, honor those who paid the ultimate price. Let's take the next minute and watch this video, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to pray for those who have experienced such loss. Let's watch. Amen. In America today, it seems that we have forgotten to some degree. I want you to join with me in praying. And we're praying not for those who have paid the price, but for those they have left behind. Let's pray with me. Father, your Bible tells us, your word tells us to honor those whom honor is due. And we're doing that today. We are grateful that we can sit and we can stand, partly because of those who paid the ultimate price. Men and women who laid it down for us. Young lives who gave up so much. Thank you for what they have done over all these years. Help us never to forget. Our prayers are today with those friends and family members, God, who stop and think about what has been lost and what would have been. We think, Lord, of the grief that they encounter, the impact that they've experienced, the pain that they have known, the loneliness that they continue to know, Lord, and often the difficulty that still fills their lives at the loss. Lord, there's many of them who have tremendous feelings and thoughts about what might have been, what might have been. Long, Father, they long to have that family member standing with them at a picnic instead of in the ground underneath a stone tablet. Help us never to forget that. Lord, they would long to have one more hug, hear one more joke, feel one more handshake, hear their voice one last time. But so many are now left to cry alone. May we never forget. Strengthen and encourage them today. May it not be ever glib, but help us to truly be a grateful nation. May we esteem and honor those who have paid the price for freedom. It's not lost to us. And may it never be. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father, for this great land and for all those who have given so much. Thank you. Amen, friends.
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever forget, please, don't ever forget. Rolando, come. Welcome our visitors. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you're here with us for the first time, if you've only been here a few times, whether you're online or here in person, we want to get connected with you. And honestly, this is a huge family. And with Jesus, we've just become an even closer family. So please get connected with us. You can get connected. The best way is to text WELCOME to the number that will be on the screen behind me. You can also download the Church Center app. You can connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and other social media platforms. There's plenty of ways to connect. And then at the end of the service today, if you want to meet Pastor Brad, he'll be in the cafe. You can possibly get some time to speak with him and learn some more about what we do here at Seaport. And then I also want to speak to you guys about the opportunities that we have. But before I do that, can we clap for our first-time visitors? Thank you for being here. It's our way of honoring you for being here. We're blessed to have you. But with our opportunities, our first one, go public with your decision to follow Jesus. We have water baptisms on June 1st. And after service today, we have an orientation for the water baptisms. So please do that. On Wednesday, we'll have exalt and water baptism. So we'll celebrate together all those water baptisms that will be taking place. That's going to be super exciting. We have a lot happening here for our children. So the first couple things, we have experiences to help our young men, our boys, be built into men. So we have our pre-Ranger Fest work day. And then we also have the Ranger Fest. So get connected, get plugged in there, bring your boys. We also have the Stars Retreat. And we have summer camp going on throughout the summer, June through August. So everything for the details, all the registration stuff, it's in the app. Go to the Church Center app. You can get everything you need there and get registered. We also have a newcomers reception coming up shortly here. We have Engage. So if you want to understand your God-designed role, what he's created you to do and to excel in, you would want to get plugged in with Engage. Pastor Brad will be doing that. And the last thing we have for opportunities to share this morning is More Than Money with Risha. She will be able to help you with your finances. And we all probably need a little help with our finances. So that's the opportunities we have. My name is Rolando, by the way. And it's great to have you guys here.
Thanks, Rolando. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that so much. Great to have Rolando helping us with that. Thank you, Rolando. Amen. We want to take a moment and recognize all of you. And if you would just do me this favor, and I'd like to have all of you that are actively serving our country in the military, if you would I'd like to have you and your family members that are here, if you would stand right now, that would be great. And so would you just stand so we can recognize all of you who are active military today? Look at this. Isn't this great? Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you. I know, God bless you. You may be seated. I know that we have many former and retired among us as well. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to take just a moment here and we're going to have a special song in just a moment, and Jonathan is going to come and pray. for all of our active military. But I just wanted to just take my 2 minutes and just kind of talk to you about my thoughts on military appreciation. I'll never forget, Debbie and I spent 3 hours aboard, I forgot which submarine it was, on Christmas Eve a lot of years ago. And after those 3 hours, I said, how in the world did they do this? It might have been fun, but 3 hours, I was ready to get out of there. And so every time I visit a submarine, I've had that thought, how in the world they live in this world and do this thing, you know? And every time I hear of a boat, you know, deploying, I hold my breath for that young family that's often left behind to deal with all kinds of stresses. Debbie and I have led Seaport for 33 years, and so we've watched this a few times, do you know? When I see young men primarily leaving a command because of the stresses and strains and they just couldn't cope with it any longer, my heart grieves. When the word comes to me that some sailor jumped off a dry dock and killed himself, I want to run to the base. When I see family, when I see military families torn apart due to stresses, pressures, immature choices, a temptation succumbed to, my heart grieves. It's a world that most of us civilians really don't understand and only have a little bit of a glimpse into. I've never served in the military. I've never walked in your shoes. I've walked beside you for a long time. I've tried to learn the lingo and the abbreviations, and I still don't have it down. It's a culture all your own. And I understand and I appreciate that. I'll never forget when BRAC, the Base Realignment Commission, was doing their thing many years ago, a reporter came to the church and interviewed me about the impact that would have on this church. And it was, you know, we talked about that. But in the process, I said to that reporter, I said, over the years, I said, I don't know who's been blessed more. I don't know if it's us blessing the military or if it's the military blessing us. I don't know. It's been symbiotic for sure. And today, you know what? I'm humbled. I'm humbled that God called me. And people through the years have asked me, have you served? I said, no, not one day. I did consider, Jonathan, I did consider seriously, you know, going to the Coast Guard Academy. But then the Lord said, no, you're doing something else. And redirected my life. But I'm humbled with the honor I've had and continue to have to serve as your pastor, to see military men and women, their families coming and going through here, to be invited to retirement ceremonies, to speak at retirement ceremonies on the deck of the, you know, of the Constitution and the Nautilus, to go to and conduct funerals, weddings. I'm honored. And I appreciate you. I see what you give. I've seen moving vans loaded and on the way to a duty station only to get a change of orders and say, you're not going there, you're going to a different station. How do you do that? And all the other things you go through. We want to be your home away from home, and I hope that we can do that and do it well. But just know from my heart today that I love you, I appreciate you, I esteem you for all that you are. And it is such an honor that God would send you to this church to be part of us. You're not military people coming to our church. This is your church. Built for you. Jonathan, I want you to come. Come in right now, and then right after, Jonathan prays for all of our active military and families. And I don't care if you throw in there, you know, the retired and the former too. But pray for them, and then the gals will sing this song, Heal Our Land. Pray, would you?
Thank you, Father, so much for this day that we can gather freely. Unlike many across the world in countries that do not have the freedom that we have, we do have it here in large part because of our military and those who have sacrificed before us, God. And so we thank you for that freedom to worship you openly. God, I lift up right now those members who have served, God, the retirees, those who may have been medically separated, God, those who enlisted, Lord, and their enlistments have ended, God, those who have had commissions, Lord, and have given them up to go back and work in the real world, Lord. And I pray right now for those, many of them have suffered loss, many of them have suffered injury in the line of duty, God, many of them have made many sacrifices, Lord, and I pray right now, Lord, that you would give them the peace that passes all understanding. God, lift them up and heal their bodies if they've been injured, medically separated, God. I pray that you would surround them with community and family. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore those things that were lost due to their sacrifice, whether relationships with their families, God, whether it's economic or monetary increase. Lord, I pray that you would just pour into their lives a blessing for their service to this country. And right now, God, I lift up those members of the active military, those soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and even those personnel serving in our Space Force now, Lord, our 6th Armed Force, God. And I pray right now that you would bless those members. I pray a hedge of protection around them right now in Jesus' name. Many of them are serving in contingency operations throughout the world. Many of them are serving in dangerous locations, and some are even serving in combat operations, Lord. And I pray right now that you would put a hedge of protection around them. Set your angels charge over them, Lord, to keep them in all of their ways. Lift them up so they might not strike their foot against a stone, God. And I pray right now for their families who are sacrificing, God. I pray for the spouses, Lord, who are not able to see their loved ones for many, many months, sometimes even years at a time on the long deployments. And I especially lift up the children of these families, God. Being in a military family is not easy. And I pray that you would give those children the strength of character. I pray that you would give them maturity beyond their years, wisdom beyond their years, to be able to cope with the hardships of military life, of not seeing their father or their mother, their brother or sister, whoever it may be, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would pour into them an extra special blessing, God, to that whatever they would put their hands to, Lord, that it would prosper. We thank you for all of these things, God. Bless us as we remember those who have sacrificed and those who are currently serving. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And just before they come and sing, I want to just say that two things. On the way out, sorry, all we could find were Green Army men. Sorry. We looked hard. You know, we looked hard. But we've got some Green Army men that we are going to just grab one and put it on a shelf. And every time you look at that, I know your kids are going to grab it and they'll lose it and that'll be the end of it probably. But I try to hang on to it. And every time you see it, pray for our military. Amen. And just do that. Also, on the way out, stop by the information center. All of you that are active military, we have a gift for you. It's just a kind of a fun gift. We know that family time is so important. You spend so much time alone. That the church at Seaport went out and bought every family member, mom and dad included, a $5 gift card to DQ. Go as a family, as our treat, and just enjoy some ice cream from Seaport Community Church, okay? Hallelujah. You should have seen their eyes when I walked into DQ and said, I want 110 $5 gift cards. That was so great. Let's listen.
In a world where we're losing. seek your face, you'd give us grace. So come have your way. Here we are, abandoned hearts on bended knees with outstretched arms. God, hear us from heaven. Send us your presence. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Creator, perfect in nature. Better is coming, I know. And just like the rising sun, my faith is rising up. You're the God of your promise, and what you have started, you're faithful to finish it, you said. If we turn from our wicked ways and humbled ourselves in prayer and seek your face, you'd give us grace. So come have your way. Here we are, abandoned hearts on bended knees with outstretched arms. God, hear us from heaven. Send us your presence. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Here we are, abandoned hearts on bended knees with outstretched arms. God, hear us from heaven. Send us your presence. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Oh, Lord, come and heal our land.
Good morning, Seaport. I ask that we keep our hearts in a posture of worship as we move into the time of giving. Often we forget that giving is a primary form of worship, right? So as a church, we've been praying for radical giving. And if you've joined us and you've prayed for wisdom in your giving and generosity in the past few weeks, and if you've responded, I want to thank you for being a believer in Jesus Christ that puts your money literally where your mouth is and living your faith rather than just speaking of it. Today, I want to ask you a question. Why do you think we talk openly about giving? Do you think God needs our money? No. Do you think it's because we're trying to make you uncomfortable? Maybe. But no, I'll tell you why. We love talking about what God says in his word about giving. And when it comes to generosity, God has a lot to say in scripture. So we should seek his help as we want to respond to him. We hope that you'll live in increasing obedience to what God says in his word about salvation, about wisdom, decision-making, godly living, and yes, what he says about giving. And we want us all to be thriving spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, and mentally. Financially is on there, right? So there is blessing in obedience, but there is also a blessing in it for others as well. And this isn't even in the notes, but it was brought to me when I was sitting there. I thought about the boy with the fish and the loaves and how he was willing to give his little meager lunch and it was multiplied because of his heart. In the final book of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi says in chapter 3, verse 10, I'm going to read it off the screen because it's a different version in my notes. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. When we obey God and what he says about giving, we are blessed. Ask anyone who tithes regularly, and they will tell you. When we give like that, God opens up blessings that are not available any other way. And as God's people respond to him individually, the whole church is blessed. This is God's plan for our good and his glory. So let's commit to continue to ask him on an individual basis what he wants to do with our giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that all the gifts from above are from you. All the good that we have in our lives are from you. We just love that you're teaching us in your word how to give generously. And we just ask that you continue to grow that to be a radical generosity, something beyond what we could even picture, Lord. Challenge us in our givings right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are four different ways to give, so that's the easy part, guys. We have kiosks in the back. If you like to do it the old-fashioned check way, you can text to give, we can go online, and we have our app.
Amen. Thank you, Jessica. Appreciate it. Chris, come on. And I thought it would be appropriate today to have Chief Phillips, but he's not that much longer. And Chris is soon to get his credentials as an Assemblies of God minister. And Chris is going to share the word with us today. Chris, come on.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing today? Good? Whew. That song from Bree and Jenna kind of got to me there. But how can we find our purpose with so many distractions out there? There are so many different things in our life that require our time, that require our attention, that require our effort or our resources. In fact, if you have children, I'm sure that you are reminded of this multiple times a day because somebody needs you for something. You know, maybe you feel your purpose is there. You know, there's definitely no shortage of things that keep us busy or distracted. You know, there's food to prepare. Maybe we get sidetracked by, you know, playing on our telephones, or there's clothes to watch or to wash. There's rides to give, and the list goes on and on and on. And you're wondering at the end of this, like, where did all my time go after 2 hours on Facebook, you know? No matter who you are, there's a host of concerns to attend to. We all have many things that we face each day. It doesn't matter if you're a parent, right? You can get busy and distracted running toward the next thing and the next thing. Maybe you have to, you know, pay your bills. Maybe you have a car that needs to get repaired. Or maybe you just have this never-ending work list that just keeps on going and going and going. It's so easy to get lost in the flurry of the demands of each day and what each day brings. I mean, with a show of hands, how many people can say, yep, I've been there, I've done that, right? My list is long. I need an assistant, right? Often, as we go through the minutiae of life, everyone eventually ends up with a question in their mind, right? I know I have this question of, why am I here? What is my purpose? I'm pulled in so many different directions. Am I just a taxi service? Do I just Uber all day? Right? Is it sleep, eat, work, sleep, eat, work, rinse, repeat? I know a lot of people feel that way, right? But all too often we complicate things because we put man's purpose first. But let's see what the Bible has to say about this. So if you're ready, I need you to just pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whether that's, you know, the old school Bible or a telephone. And we're going to be firmly planted in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. I think it's going to be up here too. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Martha, she was distracted by all the things that she needed to do in order to be a good hostess, right? In order to provide that expected generosity and that expected hospitality for their special guest, Jesus, and all his disciples. There were likely 13 mouths to feed on that day, not just Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. And, you know, here's how I think things may have went down on that day at Martha's House of Pancakes. Right? Martha was up to her elbows in Jewish food preparation. She couldn't just, you know, pick up the cell phone and phone the local Domino's for their $5.99 medium deals because they had some company, right? Then she suddenly realized, oh, I don't have any water. No water. So she grabs a bucket, she fills, and she runs over to the well, fills it up, tries to leave, a little bit spills out, she refills it, and then she rushes back as quickly as she can. And when she returned, Mary's still sitting there and hadn't even been in the kitchen to help with anything. You know, as Martha bustled around the kitchen, she's getting more and more frustrated with her sister. You know, finally she hears Mary laugh out loud about something that Jesus had said, and that's it. She'd had it. She'd marched right in there and gave Mary one of those, you know, those unmistakable looks you give to your kids or your friends when they're doing something they're supposed to do, right? Like, you just wait till that company leaves. We're going to have a little chit-chat, right? But Jesus, he glanced up, and he gave Martha a little smile, inviting her into the conversation. But, you know, Martha, she was in no mood for chit-chat. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help. Now, I'm sure, because I know I do, I'm sure that many of us can relate with Martha here. We work hard, we're helping people, and when we look around and see others just, you know, kind of enjoying the fruits of the said labor without even considering how hard that it was worked for, we perhaps, maybe a little bit, get a little irritated, right? We may start to think that nobody really appreciates the hard work that we do. Would it be really so much to ask for someone to offer some help? Do they not see that there's just so much to be done? I could use a little help in here. You know, she probably felt like, yeah, they just take me for granted. And then what do? We get offended, right? And then we're like, maybe I should just quit. My answer is I'll just quit helping, right? Then they'll notice how much work I do when I go out to sea, right? Then they'll notice when they don't have anything to eat or if their clothes are dirty. or they'll just wear dirty clothes. You know? Now, don't get me wrong. My goal today is not to minimize the work that anybody does at home, not to minimize any of the awesome and amazing things that people do here at Seaport or out in the community. However, if our service has become nothing more than this flurry of worry, then perhaps maybe we need to pay a little more attention to Mary's side of the story. You know, loving and faithful service is so important. In fact, it's super important. And in fact, I really appreciate it when people are willing to jump in and just get the job done, serving and helping and working together, because we wouldn't be able to do the things we do if people weren't helping, right? But where is the balance? Where is that balance? You know, most of us, we have plenty of things to keep us occupied in our homes and our families, right? What about if you then tack on work into it? Or what about if you're a dual working family? Life seems to become even more busy. And then if you're involved with helping out a friend, you add in your service here at Seaport, maybe you have other things in the community that you do when you serve, or you have kid activities that you have to cart them off to, or maybe you just have personal fitness goals. Before you know it, poof, where'd the time go? Where is all this time? It doesn't take much to feel busy all the time. It might be easy for us to single out poor Martha, like, how did she miss that Jesus was in her house? He was right there in her house, yet she was hustling around just getting everything done. I mean, how many of us have that same story or could have a similar story written about us, where we're just rushing around all the time from one thing to the next, and all the while, we're missing the most important thing. You know, let's revisit verse 40. It says that Martha was distracted by the dinner. Other versions say all the preparations that had to be made. She was busy and distracted getting things done. But you know, the word distracted in the Greek, it actually means to drag around in circles. So we may be doing a lot of good things, maybe even probably a lot of necessary things, but sometimes it seems that we're only running around in circles, right? We're never actually getting anywhere. And when I was preparing this message, all I could envision in my head was a dog, like, running around in circles, chasing its tail. Now, it's important to recognize that Jesus, he wasn't faulting Martha for her service. Jesus knew what it was to serve others, right? In fact, he had come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as the ransom for many. But Martha, she was serving Jesus out of love and devotion for him. But however, even though she was serving out of this love and devotion, something was missing in all of her efforts. And maybe some of you can relate to this. I know oftentimes I can get so caught up in the, you know, in the time management or task management, because I'm a guy, right? I'm very task-oriented, right? I get caught up in all these things that sometimes I can miss it too, especially when it comes to relational things. Thank God I have a better half that keeps me on track. But let's... She may have been the one that said it, but I know all the wives were thinking of it. So let's flip the coin and look back again. And this time, let's take a look at what Mary chooses to do during this time and how you know, her choices were so much better than the gourmet cooking that Martha was providing. Listen to what Luke says here in verses 39 and 42. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary had discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus told Martha that she was worried and upset about many things, but what she really needed was just the one thing. Whether the many things got done or didn't get done, she needed to prioritize. She needed to prioritize that one thing, the one thing. And although this active and practical service toward God is essential and good, our first and our most important priority has always got to be our love and devotion to Jesus, simply expressed with spending time with him. Spending time with him, time worshiping him, time listening to Him, time learning from Him? Are we so busy doing the Lord's work that we don't take time to bask and enjoy the Lord's presence? Are we so busy supposedly doing the things of God that we don't take time to actually be with God? Because that is the thing that's needed most. That one thing. It's the same thing that King David spoke about and desired when he wrote Psalm 27. Let's look at what it says here in verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing that I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. You know, we could say a lot of things about David's words here, but the essence is the most important thing, the number one priority, is to spend time with the Lord, enjoying that right relationship with Him. He just wanted to be there with Him. I just want to be there with Him, be close to Him. You know, we're so busy. We're just so busy living our lives. We get, you know, just distracted from fulfilling the purposes of our lives. You know, we were created to be in fellowship with God. Adam and Eve, they enjoyed this unbroken fellowship with God in the beginning. That's how it's supposed to be. So why is it that we're so easily distracted? How are we so easily distracted from what is most important? You know, as I was preparing the message this week, I was sitting on my front porch, and it started to rain and thunder and lightning, right? And it reminded me about what the author Ken Jones said about the lessons he learned about hearing from God. And so I wanted to share that with you. He said, as he walked into his office, he noticed something he had never seen before. It was round, about the size of a dessert plate, and plugged into the wall, giving out a constant noise. It wasn't a loud noise, just a constant noise. With what in the world is this thing, that he thought as he stopped to stare. He finally asked the receptionist about it. She said, it's an ambient noise generator. If it's too quiet in here, we can distinguish the voices in the counseling offices. And we want to protect their privacy, so we bought this noise generator to cover the voices. Her explanation seemed to make perfect sense. But didn't it have to be louder to mask the conversations, he asked? No, she said. The constancy of the sound tricks the ear so that it can't be known what is being said or being distinguished. Interesting, he thought. Very interesting. One kind of noise to cover the sound of another. It made him think and pray. No wonder, Lord. No wonder we strain to hear what the Lord has to say to us. The constancy of sound, that constant nature of distraction, of busyness, of those little noises, of that soft inward ambient thought of fear and attitudes that trick our inner self and mask His soft, still voice. You see, God isn't silent. We just have trouble hearing Him. We have trouble hearing Him because we have no margin in our time. Right? We just go from place to place to place, doing and doing and doing and doing. We're just on to the next thing. We make no place for Him. So we are unable to discern His voice from all the distractions out there. So let me ask you guys for a second. Search your heart. What is it, that thing? What's that thing in your life that's the noise generator? What things in your life are the things that are keeping you from sitting down with Jesus and hearing what He has to say to you? Is it the busyness? Is it our telephone, social medias? Or is it just like the daily responsibilities of being a parent or being somebody at work or somebody that has a lot to do? The family needs. These are all important things, right? And I'm not suggesting that you stop doing everything you're supposed to do. Right? The issue here is priority. What priority does your time with Jesus take? You know, you see, Mary had chosen the one thing that was needed. Normally, I'm sure that she would have been in the kitchen helping Martha out, but Jesus was there. She chose to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to what He had to say. Whatever we do for the Lord should come from our time spent with Him. Our intentionality of that relationship with Him is what comes before our service. Because God wants us. He wants us. He wants all of us more than He wants our service. When He has us, then, and only then, will our service for Him be blessed and yield such a greater result, because we'll be doing things in His power, under His will, because we'll be seeking the kingdom of God first. And so just as Mary had made this conscious choice, just as she had set her priority to sit and listen to Jesus, so we need to do the same. You know, prayer and time in God's word will not happen by itself. You have to be intentional about it. We have to make a choice to actually do it. You know, we've been talking about it all year. It's been 5 months now. Are you keeping that daily appointment with God? Because you have to be intentional about your time, or poof, it'll just go away. You know, when you spend time with Jesus, where will you do it? Have you thought about that? How long will you do it for? Do you have a reading plan that you use? If you don't know what to read or you don't know where to go, hey, you know what? There's a free YouVersion Bible app. It has hundreds of reading plans. Just pick one. Start with 5 minutes a day. Start discovering God in the Bible. It'll change your life. The differences could be changes in your attitude or your behavior. Maybe there was some problem that you just couldn't find a solution to. And if you have lots of questions about that, go talk to Ed, because Ed will tell you about some amazing things that he's seen. Or maybe you'll just be drawn so close to Him that there will be this peace and this calmness that overcomes you and surrounds you. You see, when you put God first, when you put Him in His rightful place, all things are possible. Yet, if we're seldom or never even with Him, then it's easy to find ourselves just being dragged around and running around in circles chasing our tails and missing the very purpose that God has for us. You know, it's so easy to get off track, but it doesn't have to be. You know, my high school hockey coach used to have this hat with the following initials on it. It had said K-I-S-S. And I remember what it said, or what it stood for, and I was just baffled at how profound and simple his comment was. He said, "Phillips, keep it simple, stupid." I was like, oh, okay. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard that phrase. In fact, I've found that keeping it simple makes for actually getting things done. I mean, think about it. I've done it myself. How many times have we come up with this elaborate plan? We got the fire. We're ready to go. We come up with this elaborate plan, and we like make it to like step two. Maybe three, if we're lucky. And then it just fizzles out because the thing that we created was just so complicated, albeit it would have been awesome if we got to the end. But we often do the same thing when it comes to our fellowship with God. We tend to overcomplicate it, right? We think, oh, we're too far gone. But when it all boils down to it, it's really pretty simple. Make a daily appointment with God. Set your priority on Him. You don't have to be a nuclear engineer. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a high school diploma to have a relationship with Jesus. So instead of keep it simple, stupid, I like to think about like this. How about we just keep it simple, Seaport? That worked pretty good, right? Let's make Jesus the level one priority, because He deserves our time and our attention. I mean, just think, how amazing is it when you spend time with your best friend, right? You don't have to do anything. You can just merely be in their presence, and then you have this like calm confidence. You don't even have to say anything, right? This should be the same as you're spending time with Jesus. He is the ultimate best friend. He is the Savior, the Creator of the universe. You know, and as we begin to focus on the more simplicity of being with Jesus, of spending time with Him, then we will be better equipped and supercharged for purpose. And so a lot of people get this next verse out of context, but if you could flip to Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Some versions say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, Mary and Martha's story does not imply that we should just sit around, read, and pray. Jesus himself emphasized the need to work because the night was coming when no one would be able to work. But there are needs that need to be met and responsibilities that need to be taken care of. However, being precedes doing. What we do for the Lord should flow out of his grace and his strength in our lives. Our work for him is only as effective as his work through us. If we do not prioritize that one thing and spend time at the feet of Jesus, we will just be spinning our own wheels, going nowhere except chasing our own tails. You know, in the Apostle Paul, he knew the importance of being close to Jesus. In Philippians 3:10, Paul said his desire was to know Christ more. So his desire was to know Christ more and to become more like him. And then he goes on in chapter 4 to show the result of knowing Christ and spending time with him. Because he knew Christ, because he knew Christ's purpose for his life, then he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. Christ only strengthens us when we are doing his will. When we come to him and we ask him, when we make it our lifestyle to spend time with Jesus, to draw strength from him, it's only then that we find that we can do anything that he wills us to do. It's not just a carte blanche statement that I can just do anything through Christ. When he leads us, he shows us what is worth our time, what is worth our efforts. He shows us where we should be investing our time, our talent, our energy, our resources. Beyond that, he then enables us to do what is needed according to his power and through his will for us. You know, when Paul said he could do all things through Christ, he was speaking in the context of being able to live for Christ during the good times of plenty and also during the difficult times when he had little and nothing and was imprisoned. And I'm sure if he was standing here today, the all things, he would probably tell you that all things are not worth doing. Some things need to be left undone because God is not asking us to do those things. All things need to be qualified and defined as whatever God wants me to do, wherever God wants me to go. But if you are too busy and so busy trying to do all the things that seem important, but you never seem to find time to spend with Jesus, then you might have to learn to say no to some things. Don't sacrifice what's most important for the thing that seems most urgent right now. You know, I love what Pastor Brad says all the time because he always says, and I got to get better at this too, but before you say yes to something, know what you're saying no to, because we can't do it all, although we try. You know, above all, one thing is needed, and that is time with Jesus through prayer and through his word. And when that priority is the priority that's in place, then nothing can stop us from doing God's will. Doing what God put on our heart. Going where God wants us to go for him and for others. And so I got just a quick poll for you guys. Anybody here seen the movie City Slickers? All right, like a few of us older folks. All right. Anyways, just to give you some background, there's an unhappy man, right? He's on the verge of a midlife crisis and he travels out west to go on a cattle drive to figure out, you know, what his purpose is. So let's watch.
How old are you? 38.
39.
Yeah. You all come up here about the same age, same problems. Spend about 50 weeks a year getting knots in your rope, and then you think 2 weeks up here will untie them for you. None of you get it. Do you know what the secret of life is?
No, what?
This.
Your finger?
One thing. Just one thing. You stick to that and everything else don't mean.
That's great, but what's the one thing?
That's what you gotta figure out.
You can't just come to church and worship on Sunday or come twice a year and never have a personal relationship and expect the love and the joy and the peace and the calmness that's spent when you spend time in His presence, being with Him. You know, all too often we find ourselves looking for my purpose. You know, what's my purpose? We hear a lot of people say it outside the church. I'm just trying to find my purpose. We get focused on the things that maybe that we want and not on the things that God wants for us or to do through us. So let me ask you this right now. If you went home and you looked at yourself in the mirror, nobody else around, and wondered what you were doing, could you say to yourself, I was born for this? God designed me for this. Every single one of us has a different path. God uniquely designed us for His specific purposes. And when we're operating inside our spiritual gifts, when we're doing what God wants us to do, you know deep within you that I was born for this. That I was born for this. You know, and today is Military Appreciation Sunday, right? And so I'm sure many of the fellow uniform wearers never explored this question, or maybe you have, but maybe you need to ask yourself this. Where does God want me to be while I'm in the uniform, while I'm in the military? You know, you're not just a sonar tech or a nav ET on a submarine. You're not just a senior enlisted, an officer, or an attorney, right? Have you asked yourself, what does God want me to do with my military service? What's God's purpose for me while I'm still in my current role? You know, we have this amazing ability to interact with, to impact, and to influence thousands of people because of the transfer rate, right? 1/3 of the people in a command transfer every year. So that's people that you can talk to. That's people that you can impact. You know, God has already made you a missionary if you didn't know that. He's already made you a missionary to the mission field of the military. And He wants to use you. He wants to show your light. He wants to show and shine His light through you because they need it. You know, if you haven't looked, there's some staggering military suicide rates. In the last 5 years, for active duty, it increased 41%. That's staggering, saddening. And so if you're not using your influence to impact these people, you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, what am I doing? God, what do you want me to do? You're there for a purpose, and it's not just to be the engineer. You know, and maybe you're here and you're wondering, you're like, man, I don't even know what my spiritual gifts are. I'm not even sure what God wants me to do. Then, hey, sign up for Engage and take Engage with Pastor Brad. Or maybe you're here and you just need a relationship with Christ. Maybe that's the thing that you're here. I hope I've kept it simple enough for you today, Seaport, to see the importance of our spending time with Jesus. It's so easy to get distracted by the tyranny of all the many things that call our attention. So don't get distracted. Don't be chasing squirrels everywhere. Simplify your life. Set that priority and make that daily appointment with God. Prioritize Him so that He can supercharge you where He wants you to go. You know, and if you're not a Christian and you're not sure what to do, maybe you're sitting out there and you're like, I'm not really sure what you're talking about. I don't understand what you mean. How do I spend time with a person who I can't see? You know, maybe that's you. Or maybe you're just like, man, I do have a ton of distractions in my life. I don't know what my purpose is. That's okay. It's simple, right? Don't waste any more time. Because, you know, 2 weeks ago, I lost a friend of mine. He was only 34 years old. He had 2 children. He was married in the military. We never know when our last breath is going to be. We don't know, right? All you need to know is that God, He loves you deeply. Understand that sin keeps you separated from God and keeps God separated from you. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ made a way for you, repent, turn from your sins, and then invite Christ into your life. It's really that simple. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand with me as I call the band back up. We're going to have our prayer team come forward. But I didn't want to leave you guys with something not to do this week, right? So search yourself right now, because I want to keep it simple, Seaport. Decide right now what that one thing you're going to move this week to give Him His 5 minutes. Whether that's waking up 5 minutes early, it's just 5 minutes. And spending that time with Him, it'll change your life. So Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that throughout all our distractions, that you are always the constant in our life, Lord. Lord, may we learn to fully trust you with our time. That we come to you daily, Lord, not just when we're in a jam, Lord. That we come to you and we are in relationship with you all day, every day, Lord. Lord, I pray that we listen and obey, fully trusting that you have designed us and knowing deep within our heart that I was born for this. Amen. Let's worship.
Amen. Jesus said it like this: if you'll seek first God's priorities, his kingdom, and a right relationship with him, then all the things you have needed will be added to you. Amen? I'll just say this quickly before we go. If you need prayer for any reason, these guys will pray for you. But what Chris says, that message is so important. Studies continually show, and I read all kinds of stuff, the studies continually show that the most effective people are the people who know what their gifts and talents are, and they stay focused on those and give their best energies to them. Amen? I believe in that so much. I have a professional executive coach I meet with via Zoom every other week, and they are relentless on that question to me about what am I moving out of my life so I can focus on that which I'm best at to go forward and to see this church go forward. Think about that. What is the Lord saying to you? Lay that down. If the Lord is telling you to lay down something, it's because he's got something greater for you. Amen? Lord, help us to get a hold of this. We know, Lord, it has a lot to do with us spending time with you so that you can speak to us and keeping our priorities right. Just speak to our hearts and our minds, I pray. And help us to focus on what is truly important, that our lives have maximum impact on the people around us for your glory. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends? Amen. If you need prayer, come and receive that. You know, and don't forget, active military, stop by and get the free gift. And everybody pick up an army man to pray. And also, if you're going to be baptized in water or you're interested in being baptized in water, come meet me right over here right after the service, okay? God bless you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Bless you.
Oh,